It's time for Windows Weekly. Paul Theron and Mary Jo Foley are here for the last show of 2013. We'll talk about the CEO hunt. It continues. We'll also give you the latest in the problems people are having with their Surface 2 firmware update and more. It's all next.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Windows Weekly is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Windows Weekly with Paul Theron and Mary Jo Foley, episode 341, recorded December 19th, 2013. Hunt the Wumpus. Windows Weekly is brought to you by Carbonite. Whether you have one computer at home or several at your small business, Carbonite backs up your files to the cloud automatically and continually. Plus, access your files anytime, anywhere with a free app. Start your free trial at Carbonite.com. No credit card required. Just use the offer code Windows, and you'll get 2 bonus months with purchase. And by Personal Capital. With Personal Capital, you'll finally have all your financial life in one place and get a clear view of everything you own. Best of all, it's free. To sign up, go to personalcapital.com/windows. It's time for Windows Weekly, the show where we cover Microsoft, Windows, Xbox, Hadoop, with the queen of Hadoop, Mary Jo Foley.
No, you don't.
Priscilla, queen of the desert. Paul Theron, queen of Hadoop.
It doesn't
Paul Theron, super site for Windows, winsupersite.com. Mary Jo Foley, all about Microsoft.com and elsewhere. I just learned, much to my interest, that something, now I don't remember what it was, is running on Hadoop. What was it? Oh, rats.
You know, I have to say.
It had to do with the NSA. I don't remember. It was something. It was appearing on another show. We rarely say the word Hadoop outside of this particular
program. So you know how when you buy a car and then you see that car driving around all the time, all of a sudden you never noticed them before, but now they're everywhere, right? Now, so Hadoop, Mary Jo starts everywhere. Talking about Hadoop, and now it's like it's just everywhere.
I know what it was. IBM's Watson runs on Hadoop. Mm-hmm. What a surprise. Doesn't IBM have a Hadoop-like platform of their very own? Apparently not.
Yeah, they might. Well, Microsoft used it too, but then they ended up scrapping their Hadoop imitator and going with
the real. So they acquired.
It was called XPS, the extensible paper format, or whatever. Those clowns.
I think that's. I use an XPF of 30 when I'm in the sun.
30 was approximately the number of people that ever used XPS. So.
I guess it wouldn't be Windows Weekly without a update on the CEO. first of all, we know now, according to Microsoft, or actually somebody on the board, I guess, that it won't be this year.
Was that the black smoke that was coming up from Building 19?
Yes, we habemus CEOM. We don't yet have a pope. We don't yet have a CEO. And who did that come from, Mary Jo? Where did that story?
It came from John W. Thompson, who's the head of the search committee.
So he ought to know.
He ought to know.
Now, parse what he said. Does it mean they don't know who it's going to be or they're not going to name it?
You know, I wish I could really parse what this means. So here's what they said this week. They said they actually gave us a new number. We started out with 100 possible candidates. We thought it was 40. It was actually 100.
Wow.
They say then they whittled it down to 20, supposedly. So they're saying, you know what? It's a very complex process. We need more time. I think the reason they put this out this week was because everybody was just guessing, like, is it today? Is it today?
Not today.
And, you know, they said we'll be ready to talk more early 2014. I've seen some people speculating, so they're going to announce this at CES. No, they're not going to announce this.
You don't announce that at CES.
No.
Right. We have a new laptop and we have a new CES.
You have a new CES. Yeah.
You save CES for the products. You don't want to overshadow any product announcements with a CEO announcement. When do you announce it? Yeah. Is there a board meeting coming up?
That's all we know. We just know they don't have a name to announce yet.
Yeah. You know, he says 100 possible candidates. We talked with several dozen, focused our energy on a group of about 20.
About half of them said, I don't want it. And then now we're down to one.
You know that feature in Microsoft Word where it will summarize what you're writing into something concise? If you were to summarize this post, it would be an empty page.
Yeah, nothing.
It was like, we have nothing to say.
I expect we'll complete our work implies that we have not yet selected the Pope. The work is not yet done.
I expect them to complete their work as well.
Yeah. In the early part of 2014.
I think this just means not this year.
I think they should do it like the Hunger Games.
I do too.
They should have a big dome with weapons. They should all be put in the forest. Let them go. And whoever lives is now CEO.
I'm kind of imagining like a shirtless Chris Capossela with like war paint on his body standing over the dead remains of his enemies.
Oh, Lord. Why don't they put somebody in the chat room, Helicat is saying you should put a countdown on the Bing websites. Yeah. 25 days left to CEO.
That's what I could do it on New Year's Eve.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good idea. Steve Ballmer could dip the new CEO and give him a big smooch.
Guys, I think you're going to have to call me back. I'm losing you.
I'll tell you what. While we're calling Mary Jo back, let me mention Carbonite.com, our fine sponsor. You know, I just saw the press release from Carbonite that for 2014, they're eliminating... throughput blocks or what do they call them? You have unlimited backup with all of their plans. The plans are not based on the amount of data backed up, but the amount of the number of computers, the number of drives, that kind of thing. So Carbonite Online Backup, let me explain what it is. It's automatic. It's continuous. As soon as you install that thing on the internet, on your computer and your computer gets on the internet, you're backing up. It's as little as $59.99 a year for everything on a single computer, Mac or PC. I guess on this show I should say PC or Mac. And it's a really great solution. I've heard from people all the time who say, Carbonite saved my bacon, not to mention my files. They've got plans for Home Plus, Home Premier, the Business Plan. They've got Business Premier now. That's online backup for all your computers, plus Windows Server backup, which is awesome. They got, if you do the Business Premier plan, they'll do a free valet install, unlimited computers, external drives, and NAS devices. It's HIPAA compliant, and unlimited Windows servers. They also have the new Enhanced Server backup for Windows Servers database and live applications with a comprehensive hot backup, plus hybrid local and cloud backup, upload speeds. I mean, they have all the plans for all your needs. But I've got to say, if you're not backing up, or even if you are and you don't have a great strategy, you're not doing it right. You got to go to Carbonite. Visit Carbonite.com and use the offer code Windows, and you'll get a free trial, 2 weeks for the home or home office, 30 days for small business. They never require a credit card. I like that because, you know, sometimes now, I think all of our free trials now, no credit card needed, because otherwise you feel like, well, then, it's just going to start into the regular. No, you have to decide to buy. But I think when you do, you'll realize what a great solution it is when you try it, and you'll get 2 free months with purchase at least if you use our offer code Windows. This is better and better all the time. Carbonite, the backup solution. You got to back it up to get it back. So do it right with Carbonite. Carbonite.com. The offer code is Windows. It's Windows Weekly. Mary Jo Foley, Paul Thurrott, Leo Laporte, talking about the latest from Microsoft. Are we good, Mary Jo?
Yep. I don't know what that's about.
I don't know. Could be us. Could be you. We've had trouble with
Skype.
NSA. Could
be
the
NSA.
You know, when you split the signal, you're going to reduce you're going to attenuate the issue. Some data's going there, some data's going there.
Attenuate.
Attenuate.
A word I don't hear enough.
No.
You should listen to Ham Nation. You'll hear it a lot. A lot of attenuation on our ham radio program. All right. So John Thompson blogs next year.
Yep.
Barron's says that Mullally is still in the running. What the hell? I thought we got rid of him last week. Didn't we vote him off the island?
Look your heels, Leo. He'll be our next CEO.
No, it was Paul Moritz who got voted off the island last week.
That's right. Okay, yeah. We got to keep track of that.
I know. We need a big scorecard for all this. But yeah, Alan Mulally, you know, who's the Ford CEO right now, there's been a lot of back and forth. Is he in? Is he out? He won't definitively say I'm in or I'm out.
He's hot and he's cold. He's in and he's out. Isn't that a Katy Perry song? I think she wrote it. She wrote it for Alan Mulally.
Leo, I can't admit to knowing that.
Well, giggling Mary Jo has admitted already, I think. She got the reference immediately.
I did.
I have a feeling Paul might have as well. But you can blame your children. That's what I always do.
That's right.
Blame the kids.
So this week there was a surprise analyst meeting in New York. And so a lot of people thought, oh, this is it. Mulally's going to announce he's in or he's out at this analyst meeting. But no, the analyst meeting was just to say that Ford's earnings were not so good for the coming year.
Oh.
And they were warning the analysts about that.
Oh.
So then, you know, everybody now is reading the tea leaves again. Oh, since the earnings are bad, Mulally's out. Or since the earnings are bad, Mulally has to stay and fix it. Nobody right. knows is the bottom line.
I saw that this morning and I thought to myself, if he was leaving, it seems like he would have orchestrated it to happen before that happened. And then then people could point back and say, see, you know, if this guy was still around, next year would be great.
And I thought that he was going to have all these great, well, this will be next year, the great earnings to report on the new international sales of the Mustang. But I guess maybe not. Maybe the car market is softening. But didn't we say last week that the board was saying, Alan, you got to make up your mind.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
They did. And I was talking to somebody who knew what happened at this meeting this week, and they said Mulally wasn't even there.
Oh.
So, I mean, he wasn't at the meeting. So
was he skiing at Whistler Mountain?
Nobody knows where this guy is. Where in the world is
where
Alan Mulally?
Where in the world is Alan Mulally?
Right. Oh, no. So, yeah, then Rick Sherland, you know, who's been kind of leading the charge about who's the next CEO. He's the research analyst at Nomura. He said, you know what? I think Mulally may not be the leading guy anymore. And he was the guy who was telling everybody he's the leading guy. I think nobody knows. Everybody's guessing. That's the bottom line.
And when an analyst says something, it doesn't mean that they're informed.
No, it does not.
Quite to the contrary, Leo.
Quite to the contrary.
These people tend to like to open their mouths.
Right. It's their goal. I always have to say this because, unfortunately, so this happens a lot in tech media, but I would guess it happens elsewhere. Analysts are oft quoted. But as we've pointed out many times on other shows, their audience is different. Their responsibility is different.
Yes.
They are really talking to investors.
Right.
I don't think it's
right.
Meaningful.
And what's good, what the investors want is not always what's best for the company, the employees, right? Or the product groups.
Right.
So a lot of people confuse that too. They're like, oh, all these guys who are giving this advice on Wall Street, they only want what's best for Microsoft. No, they only want what's best for them and their investors. They don't really care what happens.
Nobody in the world only wants what's best for Microsoft.
Yeah.
Even Bill Gates.
Except maybe Steve Ballmer.
Ballmer, maybe. Maybe.
It's funny. You know, Mary Jo, I meant to send you an article this week. It was written by Dan Shaughnessy. He writes a sports column for the Boston Globe. He's been doing it for about 250 years, from what I can tell. But someone had complained to him that he didn't seem too excited when local teams, you know, win. And he was saying, he goes, look, you know, I'm an old school journalist. My job isn't to root for the home team. My job is to report things as they are. He goes, it's interesting if the Patriots go 19-0 in the regular season and lose in the Super Bowl. That's just a great story.
Yeah.
It's a great story when the Red Sox win, you know, whatever. But I mean, this is kind of like that in that sense where, you know, and of course we as people who cover Microsoft, a lot of people I think look to us, and if we're critical of the company, it's like, well, why aren't you being, you know, why aren't you cheerleading the company?
Right.
And then, you know, other people, if you do say something possible, you're a Microsoft shill. You know, and I mean, I think there's a deeper calling. And so I think all of these groups, whether they're straight ahead journalists or analysts or whatever, have a particular calling, I guess I would call it.
Yeah.
And then there are bloggers.
Yeah, we should mention that. Leo,
you're really undercutting the seriousness of this.
I'm wearing my Niners construction helmet because we're in a building year.
This is like the, you know,
No, you know, I was down there in Silicon Valley working on a new Niners stadium before the show, and I had to come up here. I forgot to take off my my Wolverine work boots and my hard.
Are you going to the game on Sunday, later?
I am going on Monday. It's Monday Night Football, and it will be the last game at Candlestick, last regular season game at Candlestick. Yeah. I was at the last Giants game at Candlestick in this. And apparently, immediately after the game on Monday, they're going to implode the whole thing into the ground, as it should have been many years ago.
Sure.
So,
are they going to have separate stadiums, I hope?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, you know, we have AT&T Park, right? Which is a beautiful downtown baseball stadium, as all baseball stadiums should be. And then Silicon Valley gets right out. You know, you look out the window of Google, Oracle, and look right into the new Niners stadium, which opens next year I think it's Sunnyvale or Mountain View, and it's down that way.
So they're going to change the name of the team?
No, the team is still San Francisco 49ers, even though they're playing in San Jose. Hmm. You figure it out.
Okay.
It's just the way it is in the NFL. By the way, now that I've distracted you from the Alan Mulally talk conversation, I would like to point out what Bill Gates is doing these days. He's putting stuffed cows.
All right.
So
actually,
I guess,
we should have commented on this because... I saw this. Bill, imagine you're whoever you are. Doesn't matter what status you are in life, but Bill Gates is your secret Santa.
What
clearly
are you,
you're getting
what are you
a Maserati.
Get? No.
Clearly
no.
You're getting...
No, no. He donated a $500 cow to Heifer International. That's a good donation. Gave
a
cow to a poor family. Well, you get the stuffed cow, but a poor family gets the donation. A donation to Heifer International. I've done this before. I've given a goat. Has been given to your honor thanks to the giving spirit that you inspired. Hardworking families in need around the world will now have regular meals, a stable income, and the pride of passing on the gift of their achievements and knowledge to others. So Bill Gates, there's apparently a Secret Santa thing on Reddit. Reddit okay. Gifts. And imagine, if you will, the young woman who drew Bill Gates as her Secret Santa.
I know. It's crazy.
Her name, Rachel. To Rachel, my Secret Santa present to you is a cow. Don't worry, you will not have to build a barn. The cow will be given to a family need. Happy holiday, Bill Gates.
It's a Microsoft cow. It's going to be updated regularly with new meat.
Having received this, I would perhaps doubt that it's in fact Bill Gates, except Bill, knowing that this would be a problem, took to a Reddit tradition and actually sent a picture of himself with the stuffed cow and the certificate, proving, unless this is an extremely adept Photoshop, that he did in fact send Rachel...
I think we can attest that this is...
But why is Bill Gates doing the Secret Santa, Reddit Secret Santa? That's strange.
He's got a lot of free time now.
That's just odd.
You know?
It is odd.
And it looks like he kind of did it himself. Here's the card to Rachel from Bill. I think that's Bill's handwriting.
It's like a kid's Valentine's Day card, you know? From grade school.
That is so weird. There's Rachel with her. He also sent her a National Geographic coffee table book.
Mm-hmm.
That's really amazing.
Yep.
It's really amazing. So I think we can give credence to the rumors that he will be off the board any day now. He's got bigger fish to fry.
He'll be in a home soon.
You're right, though. Would you expect if Bill Gates were your Secret Santa?
It's like, here we go. I just hit the lottery.
Maybe. No. I don't know. But it is a secret. I mean, he did not even have to reveal his identity if he didn't want
to.
Right. It's neat. I think it's kind of neat.
I think it's cool, yeah.
It shows a real humility of spirit that I admire. And he did a good thing with it. So we're down to 20. Alan Mulally may or may not be on that list.
I think it's less than 20, isn't it? Or did they?
Well,
I thought they were down to several or something.
What did he say? Let me read the exact quote on Mary Jo's blog. What did he say, Mary Jo? Exactly. The group has narrowed from 20. We've done deeper research and investigation, including with the full board. We're moving ahead well.
Yes. So narrowed from 20.
Narrowed from 20. Could be any number.
19.
Yeah.
Could be 9.
Any number. Are we lost you, Mary Jo, again?
Uh-oh. We lost Mary Jo again.
Yeah. Look at her. We could just watch her for a while. Let's move on to the next item. You are both happy Surface owners. Actually, Mary Jo's a Surface 2 owner.
Paul's RT. I'm still on RT.
You're still on RT. But Surface Pro too has had a problem with a flame lamp. What happened here?
Yeah.
Surface Pro.
This is for the Pro version.
Yeah. This is the problem this week was Surface Pro 2, which is the newest version of the Pro. And when people had applied the update that came out on Patch Tuesday on December 10th to their Surface Pro 2, the one that was supposed to help them have better battery life and better interaction with the cover, the type cover, they were noticing that their battery life was dying really quick.
Oh, boy.
And
it's not universal, though, is it? I mean, isn't
it's not universal, no.
Yeah, I think it's just some universal. People, but... But you'll notice so it if it happens. Let's put it that way.
I know. This is, we should say this because I get mail almost daily from different people, some with Surface 2, some with the Pro 2, some with the Surface Pro Original. Everybody's got different problems. They think everything is applicable to everyone, but it's not. Like some people applied this patch, right? And they didn't have a problem.
And I've heard, and I hear from those people, and they're like, I don't know what you're complaining about, because my battery life went up by an hour and a half or whatever.
Right, but, I know.
So this is a perfect software update in many ways, because, you know, everyone sees something different.
I know.
Well done, Microsoft.
Yeah. Only you.
No, it's not only you. You know, the same thing happened with iPhone updates in iOS 7, is that some people said my battery life now is suddenly half.
Yeah.
It was a similar issue. And it's not consistent.
There's a lot of stuff like this. You know, people with certain Lumia phones will say they see a yellow tint in the photos they take. Some people say they see a blue tint. Some people see a tint on the screen. Some people, you know, it's
hardware differences.
It's really strange. Yeah.
Yeah.
Really strange.
Yeah. And it may well be, given the, you know, how quickly they came up with the Surface 2, that there were different versions or.
God, I hope.
And a firmware update's a big deal too, right?
Yeah, and there's three levels of problems here. I mean, one is that Microsoft has done a pretty good and consistent job of providing firmware updates for the Surface line of products since the first one shipped last year. So almost every month we see updates. And since there have been now four models in the market, for the last couple of months, we've seen, updates for most of them, right, each month. And I think that's one of the benefits overall of Microsoft producing their own hardware, because you get to see them kind of take control of the ecosystems. And so that's good. More generally, though, you know, Microsoft puts out these updates every month, like security updates, right? And same thing. You know, you get this kind of advice where it's like, you should be just doing this. Just leave it alone. Let them update automatically. You should, you know, this is smart to do. The problems that people used to have with this kind of thing are years in the past. Don't worry about it. And then something like this happens, and it's like, And then there's the third layer. The third layer is, hey, sorry that we screwed it up. We're going to fix this next year. We're on vacation.
Yeah. They're not doing that, or are they doing that?
They literally are doing that.
They said, no.
Right. They said, we're going to pull the patch, the firmware update, and we'll do something to fix it after the holidays.
Yeah.
Because we're gone.
By the way, I just want to point something out. It's not the holidays yet.
No.
That's cool. But, you know, what about those people that have hours of less battery life? The solution is just, suck it up for
the
next 3 or 4 weeks?
A firmware upgrade, right? You're stuck.
Can't you roll back, Paul? Or not?
Oh, I don't know. That's a good question. I don't believe you can.
Usually with a firmware update, there's no going back, but I guess...
Well, okay, so here's the deal. Let's pretend there's a way to do that, because I really don't know. But let's just say there is. The truth is, most of the people who buy these things don't know how to do that and don't understand that process. There's no automated thing that's going to make it happen for them. I mean, the fact remains that normal people bought this product because they trust Microsoft. They did the update because it happens semi-automatically. They saw it, whatever. And now they're in trouble, and some of them. And the response is, we'll see after the holidays. You know, it's like, I just don't think that's cool. And this goes back to something I've noticed with Microsoft before. I think Mary Jo has as well, where the entire company just seems to take off from this second half of the month through the beginning of January. It's just the company's gone.
It's like France in August.
I wrote that in an article.
I think you said that.
Did you?
I did. I said, that's exactly what I compared it to.
I'm sorry.
And you know what?
I'm sorry.
That's not sustainable. And I've actually heard from a couple of people from Microsoft. They're like, you told us we can't take vacations with our family? Yeah. Yeah. Actually, yes. If you're the part of the group that screwed up this thing for your customers, actually, yes. I look, I realize not the whole world isn't on my schedule, but I work 7 days a week. I work on Christmas Day. I expect that level of customer service from Microsoft for a product that frankly didn't get off to a great start, for a product that frankly requires a lot of trust on the part of those customers. Keeping them waiting for weeks is the exact wrong thing to do. I'm sorry. Yes, I do. I do expect you to skip the vacation retreat to Switzerland or wherever you're going this year. Yeah, I really feel that strongly about it. And I don't understand making people wait for something like this.
Well, and I think you can make a strong case that a tablet, the expectations are a little different. They're higher, frankly, because as you said, people who buy tablets.
Well, by the way, Surface Pro 2, though, remember,
that's really a Windows machine. Yeah.
It's an Ultrabook.
No, that's true.
It's a $1,000 machine before you get a keyboard.
Web 1305 in the chat room says firmware updates update the core on RT, but not on Pro. So if you do the system restore on the Pro, as you know, all Windows 8 systems have this, you know, back to scratch, it will be bounce you back to your factory start. So you could, if you're having the battery life issue, you can easily roll it back. You'll lose all your data.
Well, are you talking about resetting it, or are you talking about, when you say system restore?
He says system restore.
Do you mean the old-fashioned system restore where it rolls back drivers?
My suspicion is saying roll back the machine. What do they call that? There's a word.
Yeah, it's PC reset.
Yeah. And that loses your data, right?
If you do the full reset.
Yeah, unless you have a separate data drive or some sort of. But, you know, put in an SD card, pull off your data and do that. And
that's better than waiting for the end of the holidays, since you can stop, you know, you can swipe the whole thing out.
Start over. I actually think that that's a feature that I really like in Windows 8.
Oh, no, I do too. I do too, of course. But, I mean, I'm just speaking more generally, because we've seen this before. Mary Jo, you can agree or disagree if you want. I mean, I find that the fact that most of the company, like most of France, goes away at the same exact time of the year. I don't know.
Yeah, a lot of the people we look for, like for even just getting normal quotes or updates on products, they're gone. Mm-hmm. Everybody's gone. And you know, I saw some people take umbrage at your comment, Paul.
Yeah,
but you know,
they French people.
They were not right. French people.
The word umbrage is a French word.
About the France comment too, by the way. I thought that was funny. I was
umbrage.
I've spent a year of my life in France. I'm not ignorant of France.
Je fais l'umbrage.
I think the people who were upset were because there are a lot of people who work in product support, customer support at Microsoft, and they aren't the ones who take off. Like, they're the ones who are stuck in the forums answering all the angry questions from people.
That's
in this
even
case,
worse,
really
right?
Stuck because there's no good answer, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know, though. I mean, we're going to shut the place down next week and send everybody home. If you have trouble with a Twit podcast next week, don't call me.
But Leo, but how many, who's paying for your service here?
No one.
I mean,
no one.
No, it's a different thing, right? My entire company is going to be gone, you know, the whole week after Christmas or whatever. I mean, that's pretty normal. I mean, I tend to just work, you know, but. I'm talking of, you know, this is a different thing. You know, this is, it's like, yep, we screwed it up. All right, see you next year.
Deep Pan makes a good point. He says, if you're building yourself now as a devices and services company, services means, well, service.
Service
is down right now.
It's devices and services, not devices and customer service, you idiot.
It's funny. I remember talking to the Azure guys when they started building Azure, and they said to make that point to the team, they made them all wear little pagers, and every time Azure went down at the beginning, they would page them whatever time.
Good.
Vacations, nights, middle of the night. And they said, you know what? That taught us what it means to be a services company.
That's interesting.
So I think they know this. I'm not trying to defend this whole patching thing because, man, I can tell you, if this had happened to me, I would be really irate. And justifiably so, I think. Yeah. So, they at least should tell people how to work around it, post some very public description of what you can do as a normal human being, not a power user, to fix this or get around it somehow. But right now they're not publishing anything as far as I know about workaround or whatever.
Rye harkens back in our chat room. He harkens back to the days when Scott Oakey would send out emails saying, I'm here on Christmas Day. Where are you?
That's great. Great. Yeah.
And there's one other little glitch that some Surface users are having that I should talk about too, because I think, Paul, I don't know if you've had this one, but some Surface, I think it's just Surface 2 and Surface RT maybe, I'm not positive, users are having this thing where they, when they reboot, they're suddenly being put, there's a question coming up to them saying, where's your BitLocker key?
Where's
your BitLocker key?
Which, if you're a normal person,
that's
you're
a scary question.
Yeah. And I asked Microsoft about that one too, and they said they didn't have any comment. But I heard from one of my sources at Microsoft saying they know about that one and a fix is in the works on that. So if you're one of the people having that, it's being fixed.
Are you stuck if you don't have your BitLocker key?
Yes, you are.
Ooh.
So
it's rolling back.
Sean from work, Mary Jo, his experience in this problem and his.
Is on what? Is it on a Surface 2?
It's got to be on a Surface.
And he turned on BitLocker, right? I mean, he did turn it on.
Yeah.
Or no?
Well, actually,
where does it just clump with that?
Oh, that would be really bad if you didn't turn on BitLocker.
It's on automatically in the RT. I don't know about
BitLocker's on automatically.
No, only in RT.
In RT, that's interesting.
So. I don't know which one he has, but he took a picture of his key with his phone and he uses it. So that's now when this happens, he has the key so he can type it.
Now, and of course, when you BitLocker is the whole disk encryption that's in Windows. And when you do use that, it does say, prompts you, it says, now give me a disk or a USB drive. Let me store our certificate somewhere, because if you, you know, lose that, you're out of luck. So these are people who are ignoring that.
Yeah, it's not on by default on Surface 2. So,
okay. That's interesting. It's on by default on RT. That's an acknowledgement, I guess, of the fact that, as we've mentioned on Security Now, that SSDs are cannot be effectively.
It's sort of a simpler version. It's a kind of a non-managed version of BitLocker, right. But I don't think it's on out of. Let me see if I can remember this.
Web9215 says you go to the website and get the key. What do you mean? No. That's not. We're not talking about that key.
Yeah, first, boot into your service, and then go to the website
and get the key. Everybody knows you can get the BitLocker key on a website. What? I don't
know. Jenny Kai is telling me you can reset the Surface 2 if you don't have your BitLocker key. You can reset it.
Yeah, of course. You can wipe everything.
Yeah.
Lose all your data. It's basically Crypto Locker for Windows users. Crypto Locker is the ransomware that encrypts your disk and then asks for.
I'd like to flip a switch that makes my computer unusable. Do you have a feature like that? Yes. It's called BitLocker.
Okay. So, important note. Make sure you get your key and you put it somewhere safely, not on your computer.
Right. You know, the thing is, Surface this season, I should say, has actually been in the midst of some good news, right? Obviously, there's a cynical view of this, but it seems like they are at least making the right number of them in the sense that it appears to be mostly sold out everywhere, right? Last year, they had the exact opposite problem where they clearly made too many of those things. In fact, I think they're still selling some of them now. And they had that inventory overload. They had to take the write down or write off or whatever it was. And
so SkyDrive, you know, this year has your recovery key?
Who does?
SkyDrive.
SkyDrive can have your recovery. Yeah, that's true.
Do you have to hit a button?
Hit a button?
I mean, to say to save it on SkyDrive?
Yeah, I mean, when you... We got to find out. Do we have any? Is there anyone out there who has experienced this problem? And if so, could you just tell us what system you have exactly? Because that does matter.
So actually, that's interesting. So I guess I'll show you this since I don't have the 2520 anymore. The Nokia 2520, which was an RT machine, I did not know the BitLocker was on,
but it was already there.
But it was. Well, but that's and there's an RT a recovery device, key. Right? That's an RT right, device. So that's interesting. So then I did this on another machine. So you could do that.
Let's see.
So that's I did not know BitLocker was on RT automatically. That's interesting.
It's something that you do that occurs it to be implemented. I think I would just know this off the top of my head, but I don't.
So here's somebody in the chat room who says he has a Surface 2, and it's that's not Pro, right? 9215.
Right.
He says Surface 2, and it's happened twice. Yeah.
This is at the boot screen.
Is this at the boot screen 9250? And then this is on a Surface. This is on an RT version, so the Surface 2.
So the main reason I brought this up is it's being fixed, everyone. this annoying problem that we can't quite get our handle on.
And this one, they're not waiting until the holidays are over.
I'm turning on Surfaces.
I don't know when it's being fixed. No. And Microsoft won't comment. I just heard from one of my contacts, hey, we know about it, and we're in the midst of fixing it.
I got to tell you, I mean, I had that Nokia 2520. I loved it. Yep. I had no idea that BitLocker had been turned on for it or was by default. And I had no idea that I could go get my key here.
Right.
I guess if I called Microsoft, they would tell me if they were there. But that's interesting, huh?
If they were there.
If they weren't home for the holidays.
Well, I think the people who would tell you that probably are there.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, yeah, sports are there.
I don't think they're going away for the holidays.
No. No. They're not.
That's really an interesting bug. The Web 9215 says, yeah, it's a Surface 2 and it happens to him after reboot.
It doesn't seem to happen on the RT, though, I can say, since this has not happened to me, and I've rebooted it quite a bit. So that's good. Good news for us sticking with the old devices.
Excuse me. Yeah,
by the way, I no longer have that 2520, so I have no idea who has it. If it's Walt Mossberg, everybody just log in there and steal his key because that's gone back to Nokia. I wiped it and it's gone back to Nokia. I presume the key is no longer valid. And if it is, it's not my problem.
BitLocker on Windows 8, you know, the x86 versions, Windows 8.1, is like it was in, you know, Windows 7. It's something you need to turn on yourself. BitLocker in Windows RT is just called device encryption. It's kind of a non-managed version. On both of my RT devices, it is on, and you can battery key from this kind of device encryption control panel. And, you know, maybe everyone listening to this should do that right now, just as a, you know, until next month comes and that fixes there. This look, geez,
and I'm not sure where you go in. Your Microsoft account to find your BitLocker recovery keys, but somebody sent me a link in the chat room and it worked. So there is a direct link. It will take you to your Microsoft account. It is skydrive.live.com/capital P dot lowercase MVC #1!/recovery key.
This is good. Easier way to find that. I mean,
right. Or as Bobby Cannon says on Twitter, just get the BitLocker key tattooed on your arm.
Oh, there you go.
There you go. Problem solved.
Problem solved.
That's it.
I wonder if I'd go to skydrive.live.com/recovery key. I bet you that'll do it. Yes. So skydrive.live.com/recovery key.
I thought you were kidding. Does that actually work?
Yeah.
Yes, it does.
You have to be logged into your... Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of them for me.
Yeah, right.
How about that?
Look at that. We've all learned something here, I think.
The nice thing is, if this ever happens to you, it appears to be a, what is this, like threes?
It's a lot, times, which, a lot of digits.
It's like 40 characters. Yeah. Actually, 40 times, it's 8 times 6. Yeah. 48 characters. Yeah. 40, yeah. Can't do something.
Why not?
48 characters?
It's long. Yeah. It's six digits, and it's eight groups of six digits, 48 characters, yeah. It's a long, you'd be doing some typing.
You will.
But at least you'll have it. At least you can access it.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Moving on from the wonder that is BitLocker recovery.
Yes. Yes. The sheer wonder and
wonder
magic
of it
of
all.
Season.
On the Microsoft calendar, Windows 8.1 preview and build 2014. These are the conferences. Yes? No. What?
Build 2014 is. We're coming back, Leo. We're coming back to San Francisco.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Yep.
In April.
Oh, good.
April.
Now that you know where all the bars are.
And maybe we'll come to the Brick House again.
Please do.
You guys invite
Please
us.
Do. You are invited. And as far as I know, I'm still April. Doing Windows Weekly next year. I haven't been fired yet.
Yeah. So early April, we're coming back to San Francisco for Build 2014.
Good.
Microsoft already has told us, and registration will be open in January for it, so everybody can
be
ready.
First come, first serve. You're going to have to move quick.
Yeah. Yeah, they haven't said if there's going to be early bird discount registration. I don't know if there is or isn't going to be, but yeah. That's good news, and we know that's interesting timing, right? Because It's spring 2014, and that's supposedly when Microsoft's going to have Windows Phone Blue available and also the Windows 8.1 Update 1 available around that time, possibly the Surface Mini around that time, the rumored Surface Mini. So it's a really good time to have that show, which it'll be April 2nd to 4th at the Moscone, and the registration opens January 14th, 2014.
Hadoopapalooza.
Hadoopapalooza.
Do you think this means that it'll be in San Francisco from now on? I mean, it's 2 years in a row now.
I know. It might be.
I like that.
You know, because one of the big audiences they're trying to attract, well, obviously it's developers and, right, Silicon Valley. They want to get startups and the Valley and all that.
This is, in fact, the center of the world, ladies and gentlemen. I just wanted you to know. We acknowledge that. Windows 8.1 preview will be expiring. So if you installed the preview on your Windows 8 machine, what the hell are you going to do?
You're going to upgrade, and you're going to lose everything, Leo.
Oh, we warned you. We warned you.
I know. I think, when is it expiring? Is it January?
January 15th, I believe.
Yeah, so if you haven't done this upgrade yet, it works the same way as it does for anyone else. You go through the store, you'll see the upgrade tile and so forth. The problem is, if you from the preview version of 8.1, you can only do what is essentially a clean install. You know, it will wipe out all of your applications. Metro. Wait, is that right? I think I might have that backwards. Actually, excuse me. I believe it only wipes out your. Oh, I'm speaking like I know what I'm talking about, but I'm not actually positive. What does it wipe out? Do you remember? I did this so long ago.
We said that we had to reinstall apps, I think.
Everything, right? All apps.
Or your data too, or just apps? Reinstall apps is what I believe.
I think apps, right. And what happens when you do the update is you get your apps come back on your screen, but you have a little arrow next to them indicating that you have to update.
Yeah, it's not actually a big deal. I did it. It's a very simple thing.
Yeah, it's pretty easy, all in all.
Well, but, you know, for people who, you have to have those things ready to go. I mean, so if you have, like, Office, for example, you need to have that.
Yeah.
I apologize for not just knowing this.
It was a while ago. It feels like a really long time ago.
I do think so early. I saw the reminder about upgrading from the preview, and I was thinking, like,
will it save your settings? No, probably not, right?
Well, your settings are synced right through SkyDrive.
Oh, they're synced. So they would be.
Yeah, you could do all that kind of stuff. And if you, if your systems are set up to start screen sync, you could. Yeah, you'll have those tiles like Mary Jo was saying, where you can tap on them to download those. It's not going to help you with your desktop applications. But yeah, I mean, the reason why someone wouldn't have done it yet is because they don't want to lose whatever their stuff is. But you know, Windows 8.1 has been out now for about 2 months almost. It will be almost 3 months by the time this milestone occurs. So,
I looked it up here. It's on anything running Windows RT. You're going to have to reinstall all your Metro style apps. For x86 based Windows systems, you have to reinstall Windows Store / Metro style apps plus your desktop apps. So all the apps basically.
But your data will retain.
Yes.
Sounds like okay. Okay, so the biggest deal really is just those desktop applications, because those can't possibly automatically come back. So you'll need to.
That's a big deal. You'll have to have those which ones you have and all that stuff. Yeah,
yeah, and you know, you got to every time you do something like this, you need to remember to do certain things. If you have Adobe applications or iTunes, you want to deauthorize those apps because you'll be reinstalling them again, and it's effectively a new install. You don't want it to go against the app install count, you know, that kind of stuff.
Well, but we did warn you. Warned you. We said it again and again.
Although, you know, again, 2 months ago when this first came up, I did hear from a number of people who said, what the heck is this? I never heard anything about this. Yeah. And I thought it was pretty clear cut, you know, when the preview came out that this was going to be the case. I thought Microsoft was pretty upfront about it.
Well, there you go. There is, you know, an infinite capacity for surprise.
Yes, and for indignation.
There is.
And indignation and resentment. There's no lack thereof.
So, by the way, I put my Surface Pro 2 on just to kind of take a look at what the battery life said. And there's definitely something wrong with the battery on my machine. Oh. Because what this thing says right now is 11 hours and 14 minutes remaining.
Wow.
And there is no way.
That'd be nice, right?
Yeah. Can you imagine if that was awesome. What it was really like all the time?
It would be cool.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We have one more calendar date to talk about. Mm-hmm. For people who are interested in being in the Connect for Windows developer preview program, the second version of this program, Microsoft recently opened that up, but they ran out of invitations. So today they reopened that and they said, we've got 500 more spots if you want to be in this program, but you have to apply before January 31st, 2014. And it's a $399 fee to be in this program, but it's going to get you the early access to the Connect for Windows version 2 SDK if you get in.
Cool. Very nice. I love the new Connect, by the way. When you say Connect for Win, you're talking about not for Xbox One.
Right, Connect for Windows.
And this will be adding the capabilities of the Connect for Xbox One, because that's very different than the original Connect. So when they say Connect V2, they're talking about the Xbox One style.
Yeah, very much new hardware, yeah.
Yeah. Big difference. I mean, you don't have to be across the room. It would be much more useful, I would think, for desktop than the original Kinect, which really was impractical.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Let's move on to Windows Phone. Somebody says 2013 was a great year for Windows Phone 8.
And it's getting even better, Leo.
Who would say that, Mr. Paul?
Yes. I just discovered, and it is, have just installed, a new update is available. If you have a Lumia 1020 and you're on AT&T, the Nokia Black update is available. And if you go back to when Microsoft released Update 2 or GDR2 for Windows Phone 8 this summer, Nokia at the time released an update called Amber, which was kind of in lockstep with Update 2. And so this one was designed to be in lockstep with Update 3. And I think, like a lot of people, I thought it was coming in early 2014, but actually it's available now. And so Black is a little more mysterious.
Well, it features Jay-Z.
No, it's not that Black. It's that the black. No, it's it's the I just forgot the name of the band. I can't go with this joke anymore. I'm sorry. This is not a huge update. It has a few glance screen improvements, raw camera support, actually, which is, I think, one that people were looking for. Some new camera stuff and support for the latest version of Bluetooth 4.0 LE. And so I literally just installed it as we were sitting here talking, so I haven't even had a chance to look at it. But one of the things I'm most curious about is the camera stuff. You know, I want to see how that goes, because I think the Lumia 1020 is already an amazing camera, obviously. But
will the 1520 also get the update?
Yeah, it will. Actually, yes. In fact,
are they getting it now too or not?
That's what I'm wondering. Yeah, let me list it.
Because I have to say, 41 megapixels, really nice. But the 1520 is 20 megapixels.
The 1520
still really
might have come with it.
And I love the big screen. Oh, maybe it was already blackified.
Yeah, so here's that raises an interesting possibility. So in my test, the camera on the 1520 was actually a little bit better than the camera on the 1020. And I was kind of confused by that, because the 1020 has obviously much higher resolution. I figured if anything, it'd be kind of a wash. And so this might explain the differences in the quality of the photos. And maybe this, black update does in fact make a difference, because it really was noticeable. It's still not quite done.
Noah Mon, our chat room, says the 1520 does have the black pre-installed, but there's also an update for the 1520 today. So
okay.
Maybe they're being unified.
I'm always excited to download updates for Windows Phone.
Why is that, Paul?
Because, Leo, a year ago,
yeah.
That phrase was a nonsensical collection of words. there was no downloading or installing of updates on Windows Phone. Not really. I mean, not a lot of it. And I wrote an article about this. I mean, just to jump through it really quickly. I mean, obviously there were a lot of some market share improvements. It's still low single digits and all that kind of stuff. But in some markets in Europe, in Latin America, South America, Asia, Windows Phone is doing amazingly well. And I think more important, the first major goal from a market share perspective is that, as BlackBerry tanks and Windows Phone rises, Windows Phone sort of establishes itself as that third ecosystem. And I think that's a big deal. It's also notable, perhaps, that with the iPhone falling to about 12% market share, Apple obviously is selling more phones each year. I mean, people seem to confuse market share versus unit sales and all that kind of stuff. But they're growing, but more slowly. And so Android has about 80% of the market. iOS or iPhone has about 12. And Windows Phone has about 4. You know, the delta between Windows Phone and iOS is not that great, whereas the delta between iOS and Android is humongous. So I'm not saying it's going to happen in 2015 or anything, but, you know, we'll see how it goes. I think that's interesting. This has been a big thing this year with apps. I mean, this is another issue with Windows Phone. A year ago, we wouldn't have said, oh, like all the great apps are happening on Windows Phone. Again, huge delta between the Windows Phone Store, 200,000 apps, and over a million each on iOS and Android. I get that. But, I mean, I have a list of, I went through and looked at the posts that the Windows Phone guys did just from June through the end of the year or through now. And an amazing collection of first-rate apps and games have appeared from other platforms. You know, the things that other people just sort of take for granted, Instagram and so forth. We also have like the kind of Windows Phone specific stuff that I think is very important. The Bing apps, which are, I think are actually a big deal. You know, Fresh Paint, things like that. The Here apps from Nokia, and then something that doesn't get enough credit is those Xbox Live games that are unique to Windows Phone. Some amazing stuff there. And so, again, you know, it's not like we're out of the woods or anything, but the explosion of important apps this year, I think, was bigger than any year previously for Windows Phone, and that's a big deal. In lockstep with the market share gains is Nokia's decision to really proliferate, you know, with multiple device types targeting multiple markets and seeing great success, especially in the contractless, inexpensive markets, you know, with the $99 phone like the Lumia 520 or the 521, 525, you know, the phones that are pretty similar. And so that's a big deal. I think personally for people like us who live in the United States, devices like the 1520, the 1020 especially, the 920, whatever, those phones, 925, 928, 920, are all a big deal. But I think overall, from the sort of a health of the market perspective, you know, Nokia's done a good job of just kind of answering all, you know, all of the possible market types. So that's good. And then this the software updates thing. And so we're seeing it again. This update's from Nokia, not from Microsoft. But Microsoft was able to ship 3 fairly major updates for Windows Phone this year. And again, this is, it's like, it's almost like science fiction, you know. Update 2 or GDR2, which happened over the summer, is a huge update. Update 3 is now available for anyone who wants it. You know, it's early. You can basically pretend you're a developer, get it early, bypass the carriers. There's already been an update for it. And when the official public version ships, probably early next year, you'll be able to get whatever firmware updates and other changes have occurred through the normal means. And so I think that's a big deal, too. It really is a big deal. And so you know, again, we're still talking about a system that's, you know, just sub 4% market share. So it's like we're not gonna have one of those parades on the Microsoft campus where we do the, you know, the iPhone death thing. Who would ever do something like that? That would be silly.
That would be crazy.
That would be so dumb.
Did they do that really? They like burned an iPhone in effigy.
Yeah, they did something.
Wow.
So we're just going to pretend that didn't happen.
No.
And we're just going to say that this was, you know, seriously, I think for a year in which there wasn't a major new Windows Phone release, in a year in which the Windows Phone team alone among all of the major product groups of Microsoft didn't jump on the rapid release bandwagon, curiously enough, I think was the best single year they've had since they announced Windows Phone.
Huge
year.
Really great handsets. We can now, by the way, disabuse people of the notion that the Asha division of Nokia, which Nokia is keeping, is going to do an Android device. That's that's been debunked, apparently. Yeah.
By
somebody whom I don't know. It was a rumor in the first place, right?
Yeah. I like those kind of rumors.
And I should correct myself because I've said it several times. Microsoft bought Nokia. They didn't buy Nokia. They bought a part of Nokia.
Sure. Yeah.
And
I often truncate it to Microsoft buys Nokia as well, with the understanding that, you know, people who read this stuff understand what's really happening. But I mean, Microsoft got the prime chunks.
They got the juicy part. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
they got the juicy part.
You know,
yeah.
And when people think of Nokia today, that's what Microsoft bought. Other than, say, Here mapping, which I'm surprised they didn't
get. Right. Yeah, there's services. There's the Asha hardware, which is their third developing nation, third world stuff. What about podcast support, if you don't mind me asking a self-serving question?
So this week, actually, two major apps were released. Xbox Video, which we expected. In fact, we expected about 2 weeks ago. And also Xbox Music, a preview version that was not expected. And I'm really happy to see the Xbox Music preview app because I've been working on this book about Xbox Music as kind of a proof of concept. And in going through it, and when you look at all the major, it's amazing how many platforms Xbox Music is available on now. And I'll just quickly, you know, Windows 7 through Zune, Windows 8, Windows 8.1, RT, and RT 8.1. The web, it's on Xbox 360 and Xbox One. It's on iOS and Android. It's on Windows Phone. Am I missing anything? I think that's most of it. If you look at all of those different interfaces, and you look at the modern versions especially, Windows 8.1, Windows Phone, Xbox One, et cetera, the Windows Phone version notably was really far behind. And part of it, the reason was because they had this experience that they kind of pulled forward from Windows Phone 7. It was based on Zune. Didn't have a lot of the modern features and everything. And it was weird going through the book because the Windows Phone experience was so lousy in so many ways. But now they have this standalone Xbox Music app, which raises all kinds of issues and questions and so forth, because they already have this integrated experience on the device as well. And how do these things coexist? And is the integrated experience going away in Windows 8.1 or Windows Phone 8.1? You know, we don't know. But I will say two things about it. One is that the standalone app allows you to sign in with a different Microsoft account. This is actually pretty important because if you sign into your phone with your Microsoft account now and you go to use music and videos, there's no way to change the account that that's connected to. It's the one you signed in with. When you have a standalone app, you can sign in with any account. And that is a big deal for some people because maybe they want to share the music subscription with their wife or husband or kids or whatever it is. But they don't want all of those people signing into their phones with that one account, right? They only want to sign into the app that way. So that's, I think, mostly a good news thing. But the other one is, what about podcasts, you know, or even audiobooks too? I mean, for that matter, I mean, one of the deals for for an integrated experience like you have in Windows Phone today is that all of these multimedia experiences go through the same interface. And they have built-in podcast support, at least if you live in the United States. Xbox Music has no podcast support. And it probably never will. If that surprises you, I apologize, but it literally is Xbox Music. It's not Xbox Audio. It's meant to be music, and that's all it is. There's a lot of good stuff to Xbox Music, but podcasts is not one of them. I can't provide too many details, I guess, at this point, but I've heard that the Windows Phone guys are serious about podcasting and intend whatever happens in the future to support podcasts on the device. And so I don't know what Microsoft's kind of Uber strategy is for podcasts. We've talked in the past about how podcasts are not a $1 billion business, and the Xbox guys are interested in it. But podcasts will apparently be part of Windows Phone for the foreseeable future. So don't worry that it's going away because Xbox Music has appeared.
And you know, we know Microsoft's podcast guy, Rob Greenlee, is a big fan. We're a fan of his, and I'm sure that he will not let this stand.
Yeah, Rob, I've often described Rob as kind of the lone voice of reason, you know, at Microsoft when it comes to podcasts and everything. And he's been kind of a one-man show there. But obviously, there are people at Microsoft who care about this stuff, understand the need for this stuff to be out there. What I'd like to see is a standalone podcast app from Microsoft on Xbox, on Windows Phone, you know, similar user experience and so forth. And I don't have any information about that. That's just my own personal preference. But I know as of right now, you're not going to see it in Xbox Music. I would be shocked if that ever became part of Xbox Music. It's just not part of that. It would be like adding podcast support to
iTunes,
Pandora.
Oh,
or,
okay.
Yeah. Well, iTunes has it. You know,
I know.
But iTunes, you know, iTunes is not music.
It's everything.
Right?
It's
everything.
Media,
I mean,
right.
Remember, Xbox Music doesn't have videos either.
Right.
There's a separate thing called Xbox Video.
Right.
So,
and actually, on the mobile platform, Apple has separated out podcasts and videos from iTunes.
Yes.
So I think that this is the conventional wisdom now.
So, short term, I just tell people, you know, because a lot of people are freaking out over this. The Xbox Music app on Windows Phone 8 is a preview version. It's buggy. It's weird in some ways. It's kind of unclear. It's like a store and all that kind of stuff. It's going to improve. It's going to, you know, eventually ship in some kind of final version, whatever. But it doesn't matter what happens with Xbox Music. If you use podcasts on your phone now, no matter how you do it, if you use the Music and Videos Hub, if you use a standalone app, Xbox Music changes none of that stuff. It's that works, and it will continue working, and we'll see what happens in 8.1 or 8.2 or what, you know, whenever and however it changes in the future, we'll see. But for the foreseeable future, it's nothing will change with regards for podcasts, to podcasts.
And let me correct myself.
yes,
the Microsoft acquisition did include Asha. It was
Asha
and Lumina. So I apologize. I got that.
Yeah, I mean, it's basically everything but here now. Some patents, their networking business, and I think that's it. Right? Isn't that basically?
Yeah.
It is what most people think of.
I think the patents are licensed rather than purchased.
Right.
So they don't even keep Microsoft the licenses. Right.
The patents. Patent license. Yep. Yeah.
Anyway, it's complicated.
Yeah.
The company that will be Nokia is basically what used to be Nokia Siemens, right? Plus
tires.
Plus
no, they sold. They did sell the tire division.
Did well. They?
I believe so. Yeah. I don't know. I should not open my mouth on this show because I don't know anything. Forget I even said anything. And R.I.P. Rowie.
No, this is such a sad one because I'm a Rowie user on Windows Phone.
What is Rowie?
It's a Twitter client from a company called Hidden Pineapple.
Yeah, I use it too.
Yeah, well, they ran into the Twitter user limit problem. So they can't issue any more licenses for their application, and they posted on their website today that they're not going to be updating it for people who are using it now. And they said, sorry, guys. We wish we could stay in the market, but Twitter's not letting us.
It's Twitter's fault. Blame Twitter.
What is happening with
Twitter? Because Twitter wants to own the view.
So I've been having problems all day today with MetroTwit, which is what I use.
Yeah, no,
me too.
All of them are going away.
MetroTwit's been problematic.
I believe that it's Twitter. I think Twitter keeps changing the
API
the back end stuff. Yeah. Like I have this weird feeling like this is Twitter related. You know,
it could be they don't want there to be third party clients. They don't want to have any.
So why would they?
Well, even though that's that, you know, you should probably dance with the one that brung you. They want to own the views of Twitter's stream so they can monetize it with ads. And the clients, you can't guarantee the clients will do the same.
Yeah. Although I will tell you, I downloaded this week a new Twitter client. I'm taking my chances called Tweetium for Windows 8 this week. And wow,
this is
that
a
nice
Metro app, right?
Yeah, it's a Metro app. It's a Twitter client, Brandon Patrick's product. And man, it's really awesome. It lets you scroll horizontally, which at first I didn't like, but now I really like. But I'm worried about him too. It's like, okay, aren't you going to run into the user limit too at some point?
So I also looked at this and I think I agree with you. It's great. My only problem is I want desktop.
Yeah.
You know, so I guess
RT. On Surface RT, it's really excellent. Because, you know, I love MetroTwit on Windows 7 generally, but on Windows 8, I haven't loved it as much. But I
don't like the Metro app at all, Yep.
The way, as I remember, the way Twitter did it is new clients get 100,000 tokens, 100,000 users. Old clients, existing clients get to double the number of users. So you have a real advantage if you were an existing client. It's tough if you're a new client. Because you can only grow to a certain size.
You know, back in the old days when you learned programming, you would learn like Hello World, you know. And as we moved to web and mobile stuff, they kind of turned it into like RSS apps were like the big deal for a while. Yeah. And for a period of time there, the entry-level app would be like Twitter client, you know. And I wonder if that had something to do with it. It was just like so many... you know, like ransom note style Twitter apps or something that they just wanted to put a lid on it or whatever. But I feel bad about Rowie and I.
Me too.
What are you going to use on your phone now?
What are you going to use on your phone? I don't know. On
other platforms, Twitter has its own client. So
they have it on Windows.
No, Twitter has. That's what I do.
Well, that's what they want you to use, even though it may not be as good. I agree, it's not as good. But
yeah, it's not as good. And I do use it. It's okay. I mean, the thing about the Twitter app that drives me absolutely bonkers is I don't use it a lot. And of course, I use lots of different phones. And so, let's say I pick up the 1520 today. I use it however often I use it, but maybe I haven't used the Twitter app in 3 weeks. And so I turn it on, I go to the Twitter app, and what I see are posts from 3 weeks ago. And you're like, okay, well, you can do that thing where you pull down and it reloads. It doesn't go to now. It goes to like 2.5 weeks ago. And then it goes to 2 weeks ago. And then you have to keep manually refreshing it. And it's just so, ugh, you know, it's just terrible.
Yeah, it's so annoying. Yeah, it's not good. I got to give Tweety in one more yell. Brandon, I called him Brandon Patrick. It's Paddock. Brandon Live. It's his app that I'm saying. Tweety him if you guys are looking for the good Metro-style Twitter client.
Yeah.
But yeah, on my phone, I don't know what I'm going to use now. I'm kind of at a loss what to use.
Well, the pressure's on from Twitter to either use their client or not use Twitter.
Yeah.
At least if you want a traditional experience. You know, things like Flipboard, which is a way of looking at your stream as a magazine, those don't have the same restrictions.
No. Flipboard doesn't.
I don't like those.
Yeah, that's not...
I think if you follow too many people...
Twitter and Facebook are dead. They're dead to me, I want to just say.
Well, I, you know what? I think Mary Jo probably uses Twitter much like I do. Like I think, and I, in that, I'm, you know, we use it for specific reasons, right? I mean, I think some people. It'd be nice to be a normal person in a way and get on Twitter. And I don't know what normal people do.
Yeah,
on
what
Twitter,
do normal people do with Twitter?
But I follow a very select group of people. You know,
yeah.
And I don't know the exact numbers, but I bet at least 50% of the, you know, the people I'm following on Twitter are not people. They're product groups at Microsoft or some other companies and things like that. And I use it for, it's like for news, you know, it just happened, you know. Twitter is a good place to find out when something literally just happened. And it's good for that kind of thing. But, Flipboard or whatever, those kind of things. That's, you know, that's like Bing News or any of those apps. I mean, that's a different thing.
Yeah.
For me.
Yeah. Well, Twitter's, you know, whatever. We'll see what happens.
I know.
We aren't NBC sitcom stars, so they don't really care about us.
And, you know, someday there'll be a book about the, in fact, there probably already is a book about the making of, you know, the Twitter, like the guys who started Twitter.
Yeah, there is. It's called Hatching Twitter by Nick Bilton. It's excellent.
Yeah, that sounds incredibly unexciting.
Oh, it's a soap opera. It's actually quite interesting.
And they're making it into a TV series, aren't they, or something?
Well, I guess, okay, what I mean by that is, when Mary Jo was having her problems, I was talking about that Masters of Doom book, which is one of the most amazing industry books I've ever read. But I lived through a lot of those games, and when they talk about the development of these games, it means something to me because I remember this. When you read a book like Showstoppers, yes, it's about the personalities. This guy left his wife. This guy was, you know, went mental. This guy was crazy, whatever. But a lot of it is about the development of this product that I know really well. And it's interesting to me from that level. Twitter, like, let's make it 65 characters. No, let's make it 130 characters. Like, that's the extent of it. Like, it's not interesting. Like, the technical part of Twitter is not interesting.
Yeah.
Is what I mean.
No. And that's what this book is about. The soap opera of how all the founders wrote each other out of the book and...
Yeah.
You know, the guy who came up with the name Twitter and possibly even the whole idea of Twitter never got any Twitter stock, and he's just sitting there impoverished.
I mean, like the guy who invented Facebook?
Yep. You mean the Winklevoss?
Like that guy?
Yeah.
That poor guy?
No, this is Ev Williams. No, Biz Stone's neighbor, Noah Glass, was written out of the history of Twitter. Got no money on the Twitter IPO. It's really
I can't believe there's any history of Twitter. I just don't get it. But
you got to read it. It's a good book.
Paul and I are spoiled because we've gotten to cover a company that's in so many product areas.
Right.
It's
Twitter's
like
very narrow, yeah.
Right. It's like we have to write about Twitter. Xbox and Hadoop.
Right.
You know, both.
Right.
Right. Right. This would be like covering just Photosynth. You know?
Which, by the way, one of the guys who worked on Photosynth now has moved over to Google.
Yep, he's gone to Google.
Yeah, sure, of course.
Why not?
Actually, now that we're on this topic, let me ask you, this is a little bit of a non sequitur, but I asked this semi-seriously on Twitter the other day because I watched a couple of videos. In fact, I think I alluded to this last week. I watched some TechCrunch videos interviewing Marissa Mayer, the CEO of Yahoo. Mm-hmm. She seems like a nice person. She seems smart. What the hell is Yahoo? What, like, what, why, what is this company? Like, what, what? What do they do? What service do they provide? What makes them indispensable to millions of people? Like, What is Yahoo? No, seriously, like, what is it? Could somebody explain Yahoo to
me? Like, in five words or less, what is Yahoo? Like, if
why does Yahoo exist? Like, what's the point?
It's a content and services company.
Whatever that means. Right?
Well, what is a devices and services company?
Come on,
mean?
It's like content? Saying,
yeah, no, but.
So Yahoo has a number of very popular big content pages like TV.com, OMG, and others.
Finance.
And there was some battle for the soul of Yahoo, which has been unresolved under Marissa Meyer. But the other thing that Yahoo has is these services like Flickr and Yahoo Mail.
Like Jerry Yang, right? Where's Jerry Yang now?
Well.
Is he still there? Did they freeze him in carbonite?
You know, he was briefly interim CEO. I think he's a chairman, probably chairman of the board, but he's...
I don't understand this company. Like, there are parts of it I get, like Flickr I like, but let's face it, Flickr is like a $10 million company all by itself. It's nothing.
Right.
I like Flickr. I respect Flickr. Yahoo bought Flickr. Like, Flickr is not Yahoo. Like, what is the point? I just don't understand. I really don't understand. I mean, I'm not joking about this. I literally don't understand why they exist.
Well,
Microsoft almost bought this company for astronomical amount of money. Yeah. God, talk about bullet dodged.
It'll be interesting to see what happens because I guess they could continue to be this hybrid that puzzles people, or they could focus on. I think they're going to focus on content.
A hybrid that puzzles people. That's good.
What are you?
That's a good one.
By the way, Jerry Yang is no longer on the board of Yahoo or any of those companies.
So he is literally not part of Yahoo, not part of the company that he co-created.
Well, he's probably a major stockholder.
Shareholder.
Because, by the way, I mean, it would be interesting to me to read a story of Yahoo because at some point Yahoo made sense, right? When they started Yahoo, the way I understand it, it was kind of a manual directory of what was on the internet because this was like a necessary thing. It was not possible to find out what was out there. And the reason, because we didn't really have search engines, right? So,
you know what Jerry Yang's doing? He's
playing
poker.
They would rate sites.
Jerry Yang's become a poker professional.
Oh, good lord!
Has he really? No.
Yes.
Yes.
Apparently. Wow. Yeah.
Oh, we? Huh.
He resigned from the board.
You understand? Like this company
year.
Had to have jumped the shark at some point, right? Like at some point, it stopped making sense.
Right.
I need to read a book about Yahoo. Is there a book about Yahoo?
I don't know. That's a good question.
I've heard you like writing books, Mr.
Why don't you write a book about Yahoo?
No, I don't want to do the research. I just want the answers.
You could. I got a title for you. Y-A-W-H-O question mark.
No. My title would be what the and then a what slew the, of like characters
who?
Is Yahoo.
What the?
Would be the name of the book.
Do you want to talk about...
Sorry to destroy this.
Retail. Let's do retail stores.
Yeah, let's do
83
retail
new Microsoft retail stores in 2013 and more coming?
No. So 83 total stores.
Oh, 83 now. Total stores. Okay.
Yes. And more coming next year. And this answered a question I had. It seemed to me like in the past few months we were hearing less and less about the Microsoft stores. And I was wondering, wow, are they going to count on Best Buy, that store within a store thing? Is there... stores now, but the answer is no.
Not count Best Buy, right? This is
no. This does not count Best Buy. 80. This is 83 Microsoft stores in North America. This counts the standalone stores, like the big ones, like at the Prudential in Boston, but also the little kiosks, like the one we have in New York.
In New York City, are there what, like 17 or 18 Microsoft stores, probably, or how does that work?
He's being facetious because there's none.
Is it like Starbucks? They're across the street from each other.
Yeah, we have one kiosk at the Time Warner Center that's really small. They do a good job with what they have there, but we don't have a retail store in Manhattan.
What the what?
I know.
Yeah, we don't.
It's nuts. It's nuts.
Still don't. And there's still never been an announcement that there will be. There also, we should say, are no Microsoft brick and mortar stores outside North America still. Remember, there were rumors London was going to get a store in 2013 and I think a few other places, but no others still. But they say they're going to keep going and they published today where their next three stores are going to be. There's going to be one in Mississauga, which is near Toronto, one in Farmington, Connecticut, and one in the Paramus, New Jersey area.
Does
Mary Jo, we need to have a bet. and the winner will have to send some beer to the other person, and this will be the bet. And when you think about the scope of this bet, this is an awesome bet for you.
Okay.
Which will happen first? A Microsoft store in New York City proper or a Microsoft store in Dedham, Massachusetts?
I'm betting on Dedham.
I figured the strategy out, though. It says right here on the store page, no stores in your area? Like us on Facebook and let us know where we should open our next store. So really, they just wanted to get the entire island of Manhattan. They want 7 million likes. And then, then and only then will they open a store. Oh, what fun.
That's awesome.
And, you know, I had a former Microsoft guy say to me on Twitter today, but who cares? There's never anybody in the Microsoft stores. But you know what? That's not true. Plus, I got to tell you why I want it. I'll say it again. I say it all the time, like a broken record. But I am in the market for a PC still. I still haven't bought one. And you know where what I want to do is go to a store where I can see all the different Windows PCs next to each other. And I can't find a place to do that.
Buy one that doesn't have any of that crap on there, right?
Yeah,
in other words, you choose whatever the machine is, doesn't matter.
Right.
They sell it at the Microsoft store. You get the Microsoft version, right, with the signature install and all that. That's what you want.
Yeah, so, you know, for people who say they don't need it, I beg to differ. And when they had that Times Square store for the few months that it was open here in New York, that store was always crowded. And it was crowded with tourists a lot of times, too. So it really helps you to have a storefront presence, even if people aren't in there buying a bunch of stuff like they are in the Apple store. At least they have a place to look at the stuff and compare the stuff. So I don't know. I know it's expensive to open a store here, but it just seems like, wow, I can't believe
it's crazy they don't have one in New York. And it would be a constant advertisement.
Yeah.
You know, even if it didn't make money.
Right.
You know, that Toys R Us store down on Times Square with the giant Ferris wheel inside, they could just maybe put a Microsoft store in one of the little Ferris wheels.
They used to be right near that store.
Hold on, they're coming around again. No, we're out of stock of that service. Okay, but
bye. I'll be back in a minute.
We'll be back in 17 minutes.
But yeah, so anyways, they're going to keep building stores, people, but we don't know anything about outside of the U.S. We don't know New York, but they still are continuing to open stores seemingly as close to Apple stores as they can and or in malls if they're the, quote, little specialty kiosk stores.
How many Apple stores in Manhattan? There's Soho, there's Fifth
Avenue.
Four
or five?
Grand
and
Central
all
Station.
Huge. Yeah,
would you describe them as kiosks?
I would not describe
or
them
as temples to technology.
Temples to certain technology, yeah.
Yes. They're all big. They're all showcase stores.
You know, they do a lot of their product announcements in New York. Why don't you make it a store / auditorium?
Yeah. Yep.
You know, the one crazy thing I keep wondering. So next year, Microsoft's moving their New York headquarters. They're moving to Times Square, right across from the New York Times building. I keep wondering, wow, what if they put the Microsoft store in the street level part of that building? Yeah. Maybe. That's a pure guess. But I mean, wow, that would be awesome. Right. Because they have like over 1,000 people who work in New York City. Most of them are salespeople.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
It's a big office. Right now they're right near Radio City, and now they're going to be in the middle of Times Square starting next year.
Well, but now we know what Microsoft's really doing because this story just crossing the wire.
Oh, I know.
On GigaOM, Microsoft is planning to excavate E.T. the Extraterrestrial for an exclusive
I'm fascinated by this story.
This is the Atari 2600 game that is buried.
No, because there was a news report a few months ago about the team of people that went out to do this.
Yeah.
And I never heard, you know, I remember seeing that thing. Oh, this is going to be excellent. I can't wait to hear about this. And then it just kind of disappeared. And so this documentary, it must be the same team, is going to be the subject of the Microsoft documentary. It's awesome. So here's the awesome side bit to this story. The Atari 2600 cartridge of E.T. was a horrifically bad game.
So bad they buried it.
Literally buried it in the desert of New Mexico.
Yep.
Cemented over it. Based on a Steven Spielberg movie.
Right.
Microsoft, this coming year, is going to release a TV series through Xbox that Steven Spielberg is associated with. How strange is that? I hope that doesn't suggest that the TV series will be horrifically bad, but it is weird how this has kind of come around.
Yeah.
The Steven Spielberg. Connection.
Steven Spielberg. It's all about Steven Spielberg. I think we actually have some footage from the Steven Spielberg.
See, watch the Bill Maher show enough to know where this one's going to go. Yes, please do show us some footage of Steven Spielberg.
We actually have some footage from the Steven Spielberg Microsoft collaboration, ladies and gentlemen. it's going to be exciting. And the sound effects.
They use the haunted house. This game. I think the dots were supposed to be Reese's Pieces, right?
It's just terrible. It's like, this is a terrible, 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 terrible. I have the cartridge, actually, believe it or not.
Look at it. Yeah, everyone had it. They made like millions of these things. I mean,
there's this E.T. spaceship has landed. And then here he goes. That's E.T. walking, believe it or not. And
I love how the sound is just white noise.
Yeah, that's
it's
all the
literally
Atari
like
could do.
Interference. Yeah.
Steven Spielberg.
Even for that day, that game was awful.
Oh,
you know.
Well, they
making
it.
Fun of the graphics
they,
now. Was
they
a little
literally terrible. Wrote the game in 6 weeks? I mean, it wasn't.
Oh,
you know,
God,
they had
terrible.
No time.
And apparently, written by people had no idea how to program the Atari 2600.
Well, there wasn't that much to it. I mean, frankly, it wasn't a hard thing.
Well, no, but some of the later games on that console were actually pretty impressive given what they could do with it, right? You could look at something like
Star Raiders, what a great
Pac-Man
game.
Compared to the original Pac-Man, right? They could do stuff with it. And they figured out ways to put extra memory on the cartridges. And
our show today, we're going to get to our tips, our beer, and more in just a bit. But first, a word from PersonalCapital.com, the sponsors of our show. Bill Harris, the man who founded Personal Capital, has a long and storied history in finance. He was the CEO at PayPal and also at Intuit. And I think when he was at Intuit, he realized people need a way to easily grasp what's going on with their financial life. And Personal Capital does that with a beautiful dashboard for your Android, your iPhone, your iPad, your desktop computer. The catch-22 of your financial life is the more progress you make, the more complicated it is to manage. You've got accounts everywhere. You've got checking, savings, retirement, credit cards, investments, mortgages, loans. How would you know where to put your money, what to do to make your money work? Personal Capital is wealth management for the digital age. It lets you see in a graphical dashboard, graphs, charts, reports, the whole story. It's like having a financial GPS at your fingertips, and it's free. Visit personalcapital.com/windows. It'll just take a minute to sign up, and it will pay big dividends. And you might say, well, I'm young. I'm just starting out in life. No, this is the time. This is the time to use Personal Capital. Wherever you are in your life story, it's important to invest for your future. And gosh, I wish I'd had this when I was in my 20s and 30s. I could have really used it. And I wish it's too late now for me, but not for you. PersonalCapital.com/windows. Try it free. Absolutely free. Thanks to Bill and the gang at Personal Capital for their support of Windows Weekly. Don't make your personal financial planning like a game of Hunt the Wumpus. Just to tie it into the conversation.
Hunt the Wumpus?
Remember Hunt the Wumpus?
No.
That, I think, even predates the Atari 2600. It was about as primitive a video game as you could get.
We have one more breaking news item before the picks.
Oh, yes,
is it
ma'am.
About Chuck Norris?
This is like from the Are You an Idiot file.
Yes.
A Microsoft senior manager who worked in the finance department has been charged by the SEC with insider trading.
Oh, please. Are you an idiot?
And he and a friend were betting about when the Microsoft stock would go up and down, and they got caught. They made about $400,000 doing it, and they said they were going to take the money and open a hedge fund with it.
Yeah, we were going to give it to charity. Us.
Right. Right.
Wow. Oh, you know, that seems like to be the, you know, so easy to get caught doing that, right? Oh, well.
Jeez.
Oh, well. And that, my friends, is why Mega Millions should be stopped.
Really?
No, because I don't know, because maybe they were just buying lottery tickets with it. I don't know.
Oh, there you go.
Paul, you have a tip of the week.
I do. We're going to split up these the picks this week. This
All right.
Confusing.
This is exciting for me. I'm getting my fingers ready to change the camera anytime, yes.
Keep your finger on there.
Yep, it's on the pulse of the TriCaster.
So I've been testing this service called Unroll Me, right? Unroll.me.
Unroll Me.
What you do is you sign in with your email account. Yeah, obviously you have to give them permission to access.
I typed in Unoil Me, and that doesn't work.
Yeah, so different, completely different service.
Unroll Me.
And what it does is it examines your inbox and it looks at all of the kind of newsletter type stuff you get.
Oh.
The point being that we get signed up to the stuff sometimes on purpose because we thought it was a good idea. Sometimes we just don't know what's happening.
Yes.
And it is amazing to see what is attached to your account. And then what you can do is go through the list optionally. You don't have to do this. And you can say, the first step is you can unsubscribe. And it's a free service, and so the way that it works is if you try to unsubscribe from more than 5 items, it asks that you share the fact that you've used this thing. So you can do that on Facebook, on Twitter, send an email, that kind of thing. So I shared it on Twitter or whatever. So you can unsubscribe with it. That's cool. But the next step is you can create this a single email. And you go through your list, and you say, these are the ones I want in the Unroll Me email. And so instead of getting these emails all day long from Amazon local deals and your car dealership and some newsletter you subscribed to 17 years ago, whatever it is, you get one email and you can determine how it's formatted and everything. I chose kind of like a grid layout. And it comes once a day. You can choose one of the day it comes. Yeah. And I'm kind of curious when the hammer falls on this thing. I mean, in other words, do they start charging at some point? Do the ads get in there? I'm not sure how they're going to do it, but you should check it out. It's interesting because I get a lot of unwanted email and some of it's like the gray mail type stuff, right? It is newsletters I was aware of signing up for.
And because we're like impressed, we get subscribed to a lot of stuff we didn't sign up for as well.
Oh, yeah.
My most annoying thing now, because CES is coming up and we all get emails saying, hey, would you like to make an appointment with the new stapler company at CES? And then, and this is something new, and I don't know if you guys have seen this. The latest thing is they don't stop at the first email. They said, just checking to see if you got my email. They sent me another one, like they care about me personally. Oh, yeah.
Well, one of my more recent pet peeves, because I've actually started paying attention to this stuff, which is why the Unroll Me thing was very interesting. I've seen this with newspapers. To get into a site to read an article, I had to sign into the Des Moines Register, Post, whatever it's called. I get emails from them occasionally. I'm making that one up. I don't know where they're from. But you actually go through the process of unsubscribing. They acknowledge it, and you still get email from those people. You know, that kind of thing.
I think a lot of times unsubscribes is kind of just saying.
Is literally, you're a human.
You're real.
Oh, good.
Oh, we got a good
address. Here's some more email. Yeah, exactly. So this is very interesting. I'm a little nervous. I've been doing it less than a week. I think I started sometime earlier this week. But the last 3-4 days, whatever it's been, I've gotten the roll-up emails. And I think this looks interesting. So you should at least take a look at it.
I know you don't like Gmail. You don't want to be Scroogle, but Gmail has, and a lot of people turn this off immediately, but they turned on some filtering a few months ago that, for me, sucked up all of those newsletters into a tab.
Oh, no, by the way, Microsoft does the same thing, but whatever. I don't know. You'll enjoy this Gmail joke I got from someone today. I was talking about how, with this HP Chromebook, they're recommending that you get the, contact Google and let them know you need a new power supply, but they don't tell you like how to do that. And so I spent a bunch of time researching this today, figured out how to make it happen. But I put the question on Twitter, like, well, how do you find the place in Google where they give you the new power supply? And someone, actually more than one person, wrote, just Gmail yourself a copy of what you request and Google will read your email and will send you a new power supply.
So, that's cute.
Yeah.
Yeah. They know what you they know what you're looking for. They
yeah,
know
they
when you've been naughty. They know when you've been nice.
Yep.
Now, so are you telling me that it'll be Mary Jo Foley for our software pick of the week?
I am telling you that.
Yes. Just to mix things up a little at the end of the year.
Yeah.
So my software pick is something Microsoft just released a beta of today. It's called Project Sienna. And what it is a Metro-style app for building apps. And it's not for programmers, like, you know, professional programmers, obviously. But it's also not for the layperson, really. It's more for, like, business experts, business analysts, those kind of people. People who are conversant with SharePoint and Excel.
This seems cool, actually.
Yeah, it's a pretty cool app. This is just a beta, so it doesn't let you submit the app to the store yet. But it lets you build apps using HTML5 and JavaScript. And then you can use your own favorite programming tool to kind of tailor that more. But the idea is that you can use catalogs of data, access things like SharePoint lists, Excel, Azure tables, all that kind of stuff, and use that to kind of be the back end of your app so that you're tapping into that data.
So you're basically so making a dashboard.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
So if you go now to the Windows Store, you can download it. It works on Windows RT, and it also works on Intel-based Windows 8.
Neat. And it's called Project Sienna, S-I-E-N-A.
Right. And it's not clear if the final name of this is going to be App Magic or if that was also a code name, because I looked up App Magic, which somebody today on Twitter said would be the final name, but a couple other companies own App Magic. So maybe not the final name.
Might have been what happened there.
Yeah. Yep.
Your enterprise pick of the week?
Enterprise pick of the week.
What? You want to do?
I'm sorry.
No, you could do an enterprise pick. Paul, you want to do one? You want to do an enterprise pick? Come on.
No, I don't.
Come on. I know you do.
Come on. Sorry. Jumped the gun there. Sorry.
I'll do the enterprise pick, and then Paul will do something else. Mm-hmm. So the enterprise pick of the week is a product known as Forefront Unified Access Gateway. And what this is one of the many products that used to be part of Microsoft's Forefront Identity and Security family.
That's
And Microsoft announced this week that they're going to be discontinuing this product.
Oh.
Can you guys still hear me okay?
Yes. Keep talking.
No. Not sure if you can.
Yes.
I'm just going to keep going.
Yes.
Yeah, so they're going to discontinue Forefront UAG next year as of July 1. And they are warning people, they will continue to offer you free Microsoft support and then extended support for a number of years afterward. But you should start kind of weaning yourself off UAG now. They said the reason they're doing this is because a lot of the capabilities that were in it are now part of Windows Server, so you don't really need it anymore. But they did say as well that I think this is the only remaining product in the Forefront family now under the Forefront name, Forefront Identity Manager is going to get another release. It's going to be released in 2015. There's going to be an on-premises version, and there's also going to be a cloud version. So that part of Forefront is sticking around. It's not going away. And then I'm going to throw in a bonus pick because I know people like free books. There's a free System Center 2012 R2 ebook available for download. And
we may never know how that sentence ends.
Uh-oh.
Aww. Well, I'll tell you what. I know the link to it. If you go to TechNet, it's the you actually just search for Ask the Core. Or Ask the Core team, and it is introducing Microsoft System Center 2012 R2. So if you work with Hyper-V, you can download the PDF from TechNet. So search TechNet for Ask the Core team, and you can get to their blog, and you'll see that ebook right there. Introducing Microsoft System Center 2012 R2 technical overview. I love it that Microsoft gives so much of this stuff away. That is awesome.
Yeah.
You could charge for that. I mean, it's used in business. People who would use it probably would pay for it. But good. Good on them. And should we get her back for the code name, or do you want to do that, Paul?
So actually, the code name is mine.
Aha!
So we that's
wow,
how we switched.
You really are throwing me here.
Sorry. So the code name pick of the week is Boston, which was the code name for the very first version of Visual Studio. And I happened to be present for the kind of public unveiling of this. I'm going to get the year wrong, but it was either the very end of 1995 or 96. And it was my very first trip to Redmond and my first visit to the Microsoft campus. It rained the entire time. And the funny thing about you know, that area, if you're familiar with it, is it's often depicted in TV shows and movies as being a place where it just like pours. But the truth is, Seattle area is just damp. It's just wet. Like the air is kind of wet usually, and rain is often very light. But I took a break during the Visual Studio presentation, and I went out to this wall-sized window, and it was like a waterfall outside. Like it was the heaviest rain I've ever seen in my life, and it's never rained like that since. But you know, IIS was just starting up at this time. I met those guys and everything. And one of the big deals back then was that Microsoft had all of these different programming products. So they had Visual Studio, which had its own environment and obviously its own language and so forth, its own way of doing things. You know, Visual C++, MFC, different environment and so forth. And so part of the deal behind Visual Studio was to bring all of these tools together. They were going to have a web environment, a web programming environment that was called Visual Interdev. And Interdev kind of moved along, and they don't call it that anymore. But there's still a web developer Visual Studio tool today, which is probably the successor to that. But they wanted to have one. It wasn't just bring them all into one place. They wanted to have one coding environment, one editor for everything. And if I'm not mistaken, I could be wrong about this one, but I believe that the code name for that project, which was combining Visual Basic with Visual C++ into a single editor environment, was codenamed Vegas, I think. That one I'm not 100% sure of. But this was long enough ago that Microsoft was still using city names for everything. Remember, it was like Chicago, Memphis.
Oh, yeah.
It's
this,
it's kind of the 1990s. But
Boston.
Yeah.
It's more Boston than a feeling.
Love that dirty water.
And thank goodness Mary Jo's back, because it's time for her beer pick of the week.
I know. I was worried I might miss that.
Can't miss that.
No. So I'm including a beer this week that I know could cause some problems with our craft beer fans, because I'm going to do a Goose Island beer. And craft beer purists don't like to call Goose Island a craft beer anymore, because they were bought by Anheuser-Busch InBev back in 2011. So a lot of people thought everybody thought, oh, Goose Island, they were so awesome, but now they're going to be terrible. Well, I can tell you, after drinking the beer I had this weekend, which was the Bourbon County brand Stout, they are not terrible. They are excellent.
Yeah, a score of 100.
A score of 100 on Beer Advocate.
Wow.
And it's a 14.2% beer, not for the faint of heart.
Yeah.
But wow, is it good? I mean, if you like bourbon and if you like stouts, I think you'd really like this.
Is it made with bourbon?
It's aged in bourbon barrels.
Ah.
Yep. And it's really, really good.
That's cool, because my bourbon's aged in stout barrels.
Is it?
No.
No. That would be cool, too.
Yeah, no, but I'll often drink a bourbon's aged in port wood or sherry wood casks. It really does impart a flavor onto something. So that sounds cool. Yeah. So Bourbon County brand stout from Goose Island Beer Company. And at 14.2%, you're guaranteed to like it after the first bottle. No matter what. Mary Jo, I'm so sorry we've had all these troubles. We'll see if we can help you out.
Yeah, thanks. Sorry. Sorry for the confusion.
For those who are tuning in, live, they see it. But I think a lot of the people who listen to the edited version won't even know. So I shouldn't say anything, because we fixed it up for you. Mary Jo Foley can be seen without interruption at allaboutmicrosoft.com. That's her ZDNet blog.
By the way, quick update on my Surface Pro 2. Yes. I don't remember what I said the battery life was before. I think it was 11 hours and something.
Yeah, yeah.
So the battery life is 81%.
Yeah.
And the estimated time is 2 hours and 34 minutes. So I think I'm having that problem.
That's quite a drop off.
I think that's what that means.
Yes. Paul Thurrott, winsupersite.com, the supersite for Windows, and of course Penton Media. His books are available in bookstores, and his latest are available online. Windows Phone, Book.com for the Windows Phone and Windows 8.1book.com, right?
I'm also working on an update to Xbox Music.
Oh, book. Yeah, you're working on that. Awesome.
That's on just on the Super Saiyan.
We normally do window. Well, okay. So now the schedule information, because next week is a best of, because of course it'll be the day after New Year's Day. No, the day after Christmas, I should say. Mm-hmm. We will be doing a live show January. Now, see, I'm not sure what's going to happen January 2nd. I guess we'll do a show. So we have one more show at this time, 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern time, 1900 UTC on Thursday. And then we move to our new time.
I fear change, Leo.
I fear it, too. It's going to be horrible. It'll be terrible. Our new time is when? Wednesdays at 11 a.m., is that right?
I think so.
It is.
It's all documented at our Inside Twit blog, but there are some other shows moving as well. So 11 a.m. Wednesday instead of 11 a.m. Thursday, 2 p.m. Eastern, 1900 UTC. That's all. We're moving back a day. Means you get the show a day early. I think that's a good thing. Thank you. Yeah, see? Yeah, it's nice. Have a great Christmas, you guys, or Festivus, or Winter Solstice, or whatever it is that you celebrate. We'll see you in the new year, January 2nd, and then at our new time the following week. And that's it for Windows Weekly. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time. Happy holidays. They like your Firefox poster.
It's almost time.
To say 1.0.
Probably past time for me to replace that.
Yeah, you know.
My name is on there. If you squint enough.
Why is your name on there? Is it a book?
So if you look at the graphic part on the right, I guess on the left. On the left? I don't know. The gray part.
There's lots of names.
That's actually tiny names.
Yeah.
And those are all people who, contributed or something to those.
Good on you. Good on you.
That's before I stopped caring about Firefox, but
I don't care anymore either.